Doing pretty well. Yeah, if you're ready, Emma, I'll go with the recorder and we'll jump into it.
Okay, sounds good.
So I'd love to start with where did kind of the story of Lizzie come from? Was it something that you'd read from Teresa's work, or did you have any input into kind of what was going to happen with the character? I mean, where did this all start from in the wind?
Oh, yeah. Well, I read the script after it was finished. So this was all coming from the brain of Teresa Sutherland, the writer of the film. But we did do a couple of passes on the script together after I came on board. So I felt like throughout that process, I really got to get into Teresa's headspace in terms of her motivation for writing it, but also to get into the headspace of the character Lizzie, and also trace that through some of the research that Teresa had done to get to the point where she was actually writing the script. So that was all really great. There are a bunch of the women of that time and place who were homesteading on the West in the late 1800s, and those were really amazing for me to be able to read and immerse myself into that time and place and the hardships of the day-to-day life. And it was also such a great resource for the cast to be able to read, and our production design team, and really every element of the creative process was informed by that. So that was a really cool thing that Teresa had gotten a lot of inspiration from, and that we were all able to then dive into as well.
You know, I was amazed at how much the impact of the composer is on the film. I was amazed at the choices in music that you guys had throughout to give us this sense of isolation, paranoia. Where did the music choices come from? Were you kind of always had this idea of a theme for any of the characters or anything like that? I was kind of surprised at how much it impacted me in this film.
Oh, that's so great to hear. Ben Lovett, our composer, and I talked a lot about the themes in relation to our characters' emotional arcs, but also, you know, really finding the balance throughout of the sound design and the silence in this film. So, you know, I think when the music comes in, you feel it so intensely because there's also a lot of time where there's complete silence. And Ben did an amazing job at sourcing a lot of fantastic instruments and musicians who were playing, you know, weird and quirky things that were of the period or even predated the period of the film. So he used a nickel harpa at one point, which I don't know if you've ever seen one, but it's just like this insanely interesting wooden instrument that I think maybe like one or two people in North America play. And it's just got a very unique sound, and it's got a very unsettling sound at times in terms of how Ben composed for it. And I think we were constantly trying to find moments in the score that just pushed our discomfort as a viewer and as the audience to really interact with, you know, Lizzie's, our main character's, emotional state throughout the film, and unease, general unease.
As far as casting goes, can you talk about finding Lizzie and Caitlin, and how important was it to find just the right Lizzie?
Oh, it was so critical to find the right Lizzie. We held quite a few auditions, and Caitlin was actually one of the last actresses that we saw, and I felt like she just completely nailed it coming in, and just showed a huge range in the audition. And then she had only about 2 weeks before we started shooting, and she just dove in completely in terms of also doing her own round of research and really preparing for the character. This whole film hinges on her POV, which is such a huge task for an actor to take on, but it's also such a thrill, and I think that she you know, had a great time doing it, but also just, man, is she a hard worker. I mean, we were doing long days. She's in every scene. Some of them were super physical, and then obviously emotionally going into all sorts of places, some of which were very dark. And she just embraced it, and it was, you know, I think you feel it in the film, and I think we needed someone that was that dedicated and able to go there as deeply as she did in order to make the film work.
You've done so much documentary-based material in the past. What was the best lesson or newest thing, element that you learned in this project compared to what you've done in the past?
No, I don't know if it was a lesson as much as it was, I think, a revelation for me, which was just the joy of working with actors is so great. And I was really so moved by that. There are elements of, you know, documentary filmmaking that felt so applicable in terms of being on set for this project and for, you know, narrative. But that element, working with actors, is a completely new thing. And I think that, I just want to keep doing that because it's really the greatest joy. You're in the zone, not only with every department on the film, and every shoot day is such a collaborative effort, but to be then within the zone of the actors and the performance and being able to discover different things within the performance on set and in different takes is so thrilling. And that was really, I think, you know, the biggest thing coming out of this for me, which was that's something I would love to keep doing.
If you don't mind, we cover so many film festivals for our site. I would love to just ask some questions about some of the places you've got to be with the film. Obviously starting with TIFF.
Oh, yeah.
What was your Toronto experience like, the world premiere? What did you take away from that experience?
Wow, I mean, Toronto is such an incredible festival, and it was the first time I had ever been. There's so many films. The whole city is completely geared towards the festival and celebrating cinema during those 10 days, and I think to be included in that was so huge and such an honor. But on top of that, the Midnight Madness section of that festival has such a following and such an enthusiastic turnout. And, you know, to be a part of the genre aspect of that festival was so fun. I'm not sure if there's any other festival that, you know, brings out the horror fans as much as that one does. That's not just a strictly, you know, horror or genre film festival, but it was overwhelming. You know, there are over, I think, 1,500 people in our opening screening, and it's at midnight, and for everyone to show up awake, excited, interacting throughout the, you know, throughout the screening, laughing, it's a thrill.
Speaking of more kind of horror-themed festivals, being from Texas, I've got to ask what your Fantastic Fest experience was like. I know that's a very specific.
Oh, well, that was
specific.
Also amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one that, you know, everyone's there for horror. So it's such a celebration, and Austin's such an incredible city, and to host that, you know, at the Alamo House is so, so cool. I'd love being able to hop from one theater to the other, just, you know, really make a marathon of it in terms of watching genre films there. So it was also, that festival was particularly special because it was our first screening in the U.S. And I wasn't expecting this, but I was watching the film at the Alamo House, and all of a sudden very aware that this was an American story, and there was something so moving about watching it with an American audience for the first time. Because it is this, you know, canon of American Westerns that we're, you know, we're referencing and we're building on. So that was really, really special.
Have you gotten a different response at places like Rotterdam then? Or has the response been pretty universal though?
You know, I actually wasn't able to attend Rotterdam, so I'm not sure what the overall reaction was there, but I do feel like, having said this isn't a very American story, I feel like the pacing of the film and sometimes the ways in which we shot it feel very European to me. And we did reference, you know, Bergman throughout this, and that, you know, that was absolutely an intentional choice. So I hope, and I think that it'll resonate with a European audience as well. The movie really starts out as a much slower burn than I think a lot of, you know, fast-paced American cinema. And I think that is, again, maybe something that, to make a huge generalization, European audiences might embrace. So, yeah, I hope that, I think the emotional arc of the character resonates in all territories. That's if we did it right, I hope it will. But yeah, there are certain things that pop out depending where you're watching it. I think you know, we were in Finland at a fantastic festival, Night Vision, in November, and you know what really resonated with them and that audience was the environmental aspects of the film. And I think they felt like that film could have been made in Finland, and it felt very relatable to them because they feel a, you know, strong connection with the land. And that, you know, there are just different things that resonate with different audiences, and discovering those connections is really cool.
Was there any particular, you brought up Bergman, was an inspiration. I'm curious, the cinematography being so natural and being so open, I was amazed at some of the distance of shot choices you guys used, you and Lynn. I'm curious, getting to see it on the different screens, is there particular shots you were like, oh, I'm so glad we nailed that specific shot in the film?
Yeah, there was one serendipitous, super serendipitous moment that we had on set where the sun was setting, and we had the camera pointed on the cabin, and Lizzie's standing in the foreground, and the Reverend is off screen, riding off on a horse, walking off on a horse, and his shadow was cast onto the cabin, perfectly timed with the sun setting. So we're watching his shadow leave on the cabin, and we're watching Lizzie. And we were able to get about 3 takes of that with that shadow cast that way. So that was one of those moments where, you know, it's great seeing it on the big screen and being like, wow, that really worked. We had a lot of luck on our side that day.
Very cool. Well, Emma, kind of last question. I'd love to know what the experience of working with IFC has been like, knowing their long history with the midnight category for a lot of the great film festivals out there, and their love of the genre, not just horror, but I think of psychological horror, maybe even more. Yeah. What it means to work with IFC?
Oh, it's been so amazing. I mean, their passion for, I think, supporting filmmakers is just the dream as a filmmaker. To link up with, and then on top of that, I think the whole IFC team has been just really enthusiastic and big supporter of this film from the get-go. And you know, it's a complicated one. It's a Western, and it's a horror, psychological thriller, and it's got this, you know, big female protagonist who's a complicated character. And I think that they really embrace everything that is nuanced about it. It doesn't fit into one box, and I think that they were excited about that, and for me as a filmmaker, that was just so exciting to be able to have a distributor who believed in it like that, and, you know, embraced it for everything that it is, and not just one thing.
Well, Emma, thank you for the time. I was blown away by Lizzie's tale. It freaked me out. So thank you for making the film, and I hope you continue in the fiction realm. I think you do really well with it.
Oh, thank you so much, and thanks for chatting.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Bye.